May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had someone do an unexpected kindness for you? Just a kindness. A note in the mail that touches you at a time of your need. An offer for conversation over coffee when that's just what you want. An email that somehow notices your life. A moment when you notice that someone is listening, truly listening to what it is you have to say. A meal at the door, a book chosen specifically for you. A flower cut and left. Just a kindness, except in it you feel valued and you feel seen. For a moment, something truly good, maybe something from the heart of universal good, tags you. And for a moment, you wonder, is God in this? In this notice? In this moment, in this space. That in some way, your need was noticed. That is the strangeness of this holiest of all weeks. In such odd signs, we are left to wonder, is God in this? What does it mean that God chose this moment, this way of noticing humanity's need and being so present? What does a palm procession have to do with a cross drug up a hill and of someone being hung there? More than we might easily notice. There are many ways to enter the city of Jerusalem. There are many gates, 9 of them in all. And recently I was pointed out to a book that makes the point that on that first Palm Sunday week, the one that we used as our entrance today, there were 2 processions into Jerusalem. Perhaps there were more, but there were at least 2 that stood out. One is not recorded in Scripture, only its aftermath is recorded there. That is the one where Pontius Pilate enters the city of Jerusalem from the western side, traveling as he did from his seaside home, which he much preferred to this city. But he went there to keep order, to keep what was called the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome in that city. He and his retinue of soldiers entered the city to make it clear that Rome ruled. You see, Passover was at hand. And that feast reminded the Jewish people that once God had intervened in their history in the most dramatic of ways, at least once, to free them from being oppressed by Egypt, a dominant power. And to set them on a journey to find this land that they now occupied, to be free in this land, to serve God's purpose in this land. When Passover came annually with its deep reminder that they were not a people to be occupied by a foreign strength, the city could grow quite restless under the dominating power of Rome. The people, hopeful for God's next intervention, this restless hopefulness had to be kept at bay. And perhaps that is what Barabbas being set free against Pilate's desire was what was playing out. So Pilate comes to handle them with his army of fear. through either the Damascus Gate or the Jaffa Gate on the prestigious west side of the city. He enters, marching to their quarter, what's called the Antonio Fortress, that shadows the very Temple Mount where he could watch and control. The sight of them defined worldly power and dominance, and it was meant to dispel rebellious hope. In that same week, another procession occurred, far more humble. No retinue of soldiers, no mighty horses, no chariots of strength, but a man, a dozen plus disciples. Jesus enters from the eastern side of the city, where you first see the temple, through the Sheep Gate or the Golden Gate, symbolically riding on the colt of a donkey. The symbol is foretold in the prophet Zechariah. Your king will come to you humble and mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey. The image is that when one comes under God's power, the coming is humble, less power-oriented. So Jesus goes now not to some garrison, but to the temple, where we are told he takes in the city. And then he exits far more quietly than he entered. As he enters, the hope of Messiah rises. What was hoped for? That Israel might once again have dominance. But that was not the plan. That was not the play of the hand. What mystifies us is that this day we taste hope that rises from the Palm Gospel and from our movement joyfully into this holy space. That is the first gospel movement of the day. And then comes the second movement under the Passion. We enter into a far deeper intimacy. There is a shift as Jesus gathers his friends, eats this Passover meal, changes its meaning to Last Supper, seeks quiet for prayer, tastes human betrayal at the hand of disciple and priest, and we watch how all apparently crumbles before Pilate and the populace in brutal relief. We hear again how, hanging from the cross, he prayed the 22nd Psalm. But now it seems fulfilled. My God, why have you forsaken me? And many of us know somewhere within what it is to pray that prayer, to be in a time of lost hope. And yet, by the very thought of that prayer, to hold hope. There is God, there is despair, there is comfort, there is losing our way, there is hoping again. In reality, that is the tension between faith and hope. And often daily life. We know this story, and we return to taste its mystifying depth. What is so particular about this day is that it is so ordinary. A man dies. Here, one set of eyes sees a dissonant who causes false hope and who pays the price. The social price. Would we have trusted his call to radical good without defense? Do we do that now? Dominant power often wins in life. Often those with power forget the kindness of care. dominant power can be ever so attractive to us, someone must rule and make order. In movies like American Sniper, we see how life can be deeply marred by power when it fights power, all claiming to be sources of good. We see this always from our perspective, inside our culture. That is one set of eyes. But there is another set. What holds us at this time is our knowledge that Easter comes. Our knowledge that there is a more vast stage of history. God's sense of history, God's perspective, and that is what is playing out here. Just like there are is a more substantial sense of what it is to be human, and we see it enlarged in how Jesus lives, in how he taught, how he cared, how he noticed, how he healed, how he was opposed, and yet maintained a moral course and died. For all our self-preserving ways, we know that spiritual depth and a worthy life come by what we give of ourselves, not what we take for ourselves. It comes by yielding ourselves to God and God's good, as we come to know it and see it in Jesus Christ. And yet, economy and world politics seldom know this. And so often these appear to be what rules the historic stage. Perhaps what is most important then for us to notice is, to this day, Jesus is known. Pilate is but a footnote to Jesus' life, his procession, his entry, his exit are not remembered. In Jesus' life, a deep drama of God's eternally noticing us was hidden, was acting itself out, was seeking to grasp and redirect our gaze. It is human sin that took Jesus' life, the sin of neglected good, the sin of neglected care, the sin in ordinary actions that keep the status quo over deep care, maintaining the political machine of this moment or any moment, not being brave enough to be kind and to care. And Pilate knew what was right and what was better and did not do it. A week from now, we will once again gather in this place to offer thanks for the rising of Jesus' life. The call it holds on our life to be more, to be better, to be our deepest self. We know that when we fail, we're able to go into that flow of forgiveness that comes from his life. And Pilate will be forgotten. And we are simply left to wonder, how is God in this? We meditate on this in the days of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and we celebrate it in the Great Vigil. For these moments observed in worship, something truly good, maybe something from the very heart of good, tags us. And in this moment, we know that God is drawing us, God is acting. And thus it is that we pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature, to suffer death upon a cross, to give us an example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his living, and so share in his resurrection. In his name we pray. Amen.